Amen. It's good to be here. No place I would rather be than the house of God. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach. I take every opportunity as an honor. I don't deserve to preach the gospel, but for some reason, God decided to call a skinny little blonde-headed boy from Tennessee to preach, and I try my best to obey what the Lord wants me to do. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 23. Matthew chapter number 23. I've got a message that's been burning inside my soul for a little while. The Lord hasn't given me liberty to preach it, but tonight I feel as if this is what the Lord has laid on my heart. Matthew chapter number 23. We're going to begin in verse number 24. Matthew 23, 24. The Bible says, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within." Cleanse first that which is within, the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of life. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach. I pray that you would fill me with the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost of God. I can't do it without you, Lord. Hide me behind the cross. It's in your Son's perfect and precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Here in Matthew chapter number 23, we see that Jesus is talking. If you have a red letter Bible, it's written in red. And he's talking to the crowd that we know as the Pharisees. Now, these are people that know everything there is to know about God. They know everything there is to know about the Bible. May I say that there are Pharisees in the world today. There's definitely a group of Pharisees around today. And what they do is they know everything there is to know about the Bible. They know everything there is to know about going to church. They know what you're supposed to wear, how you're supposed to look, and how you're supposed to act. And they tell you how to make it look good on the outside. But let me tell you something, friend. You will be absolutely miserable if you just make it look good on the outside. For there has to be a change with inside of you before you actually have a genuine good look on the outside. Now, I believe looking your best when you come to the house of God. I wear a suit. I wear a tie. But let me tell you something, friend. For a long time of my life, I went to church wearing a suit and a tie. And on the inside, I was miserable. I wasn't right with God. Everything looked clean. Everything looked good on the outside, but on the inside I was miserable. Now I would be a fool to think with among us tonight, there's not at least a few people in here tonight that you've got it looking good on the outside, but on the inside you're not quite clean. You're not quite where you need to be with the Lord. And what is the problem? Even after being saved, we find ourselves in situations where we are straying away, and then slowly over time, what we do is we become numb, and then we slowly become dirty again on the inside because we've become numb to the church. We've become numb to the preaching. We've become numb to just coming in, sitting in our place, doing what we're supposed to do. But on the inside, we're not really clean. And what can happen is you can become miserable as a Christian. What if we lost? And I was studying this and I was thinking about this, Pastor, and I was thinking, why is it that we have even Christians that make everything look good on the outside, but on the inside, they're dirty? And not just dirty, but they're upset and they're miserable. They're struggling. They've got problems in their life.
Yeah.
I want to look at a few people in the Bible tonight that needed to just get to Jesus. They just wanted to see God. They just wanted to get close enough to God to get actually clean, to get truly changed. What is it that some of these people did? If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19, we see a man by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a rich man, the Bible tells us. He had a lot of money. Just imagine this. Imagine the richest person you know in your life. Imagine this. Imagine if you saw the richest man you know in your life walking down the street, and all of a sudden, he runs over to a big old tree and he starts climbing up it like a monkey. Wouldn't that be kind of funny? That would look kind of weird. But you see, Zacchaeus was desperate enough to get to God. He was desperate enough just to see Jesus that he did something kind of wild. He did something kind of crazy. He got a little bit out of his comfort zone. Why? Because he was desperate to see Jesus. He was desperate to see that man. He climbed up that tree and he said, I just want to see Jesus. Zacchaeus was desperate enough to climb up a tree. Not only do I see that Zacchaeus was desperate enough to climb up a tree, but in the book of Mark, chapter number 10, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Mark, please, chapter number 10. We see a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is a blind man. Now, Bartimaeus lived this life being able to see nothing. A blind man. So we've seen Zacchaeus, and we saw a man that was desperate enough to get to Jesus by climbing up a tree. Here in this passage, I see a man that was desperate enough to get to Jesus. He was willing to cry out. And then he was willing to cry out that much more, a great deal. The Bible in the book of Mark, chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 46, the Bible says, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway. He sat by the highway side begging. Just picture a blind man. I mean, he can't see nothing. And a lot of us are spiritually blind. I'm not talking about being physically blind. This is just the application. The application is saying, spiritually, we are blinded. And some of us need to get desperate enough to say, I need to get to Jesus. Some Christians get blinded. We can live a Christian life and then somehow end up way out there in left field. What you got to do is you got to get desperate enough to get to Jesus. And he can make you whole. He can give you that joy that you need. I'm talking about getting desperate enough to get some true joy. How did Bartimaeus do that? And he heard, verse number 47, and he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. So he had heard Jesus was coming. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. This blind man can't see anything. And he's walking and he's just imagine not being able to see. All he wanted was his sight. And he cried out in a group of people and he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What did the people say to him? And many charged him that he should hold his peace. So there were these people that could see saying, hey, that's embarrassing. Don't cry out like that. Don't cry out like that. Sometimes in our spiritual life, we get a little blinded. And we need to get to a point where we're willing to cry out to Jesus. But there's sometimes somebody in your life that you know is going to think you're a little funny. You know, there's somebody in your life that likes you being stuck where you're at. They don't want you to get desperate enough to cry out to God. They don't want you to get desperate enough to say, Jesus, thou son of David. What did Bartimaeus do? He cried out so much more, a great deal, the Bible says, which means he was sitting there and he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody was saying, whoa, 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 that's embarrassing. Don't do that. Don't say that. And he said, no, I need to get to this man. I need to get whole. I need to be able to see. I've been hurting. I've been struggling. And he cried out that much louder and said, Jesus, thou son of David. In the midst of people that told him, shut up. Stop talking. Don't do it. He said, Jesus, thou son of David. It took him getting desperate. It took him getting to the point of doing something uncomfortable to get to Jesus. And then, of course, we all know the story. Jesus gave him his sight. But it wouldn't have happened if he didn't get desperate enough to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Some of us are hurting, and I've been there. I've been sitting in the church pew, and I've been struggling, and I was just a little too embarrassed to come down and cry on the altar. I was a little bit afraid of, you know what pastor preached on, and everybody knows what pastor's preached on, and oh, God forbid I go to the altar and people think that I have that problem. But what we need to do is we need to come down, and we need to cry out and get desperate enough to see the face of God. That's why we don't have revival. That's why we don't worship. That's why we don't have a good time in church. It's because none of us are desperate enough to want to see the face of Jesus. None of us are desperate enough to want to see God truly do something. Not only do I see a man that was willing to climb a tree and a man that was willing to cry out, but turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 5.
We see a woman. She's dying. She has an issue of blood. What did she need? She needed what Bartimaeus needed. She needed to get to Jesus. She was desperate. She wanted to be clean. She wanted to live. Well, what did she do to get to Jesus? I'm a visual person, so I like to read the Bible and put it up on a screen and say, man, imagine that just happening. And this story almost breaks my heart because we don't understand what some people go through, and sometimes we're stuck in our lives and we're not willing to get desperate enough to do something a little odd. Amen. Sometimes you've got to get out of that comfort zone to get right with God. Amen. Sometimes you got to step out even when those people around you think you're a little funny to get right with God. Amen. What do we see here in Mark chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 25? And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years, she'd been suffering and dying for 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So we see that she decided to go get help from the world. She decided to go to all these doctors and go to all these people. And maybe she went to her friend's house and said, hey, you got some antibiotics I can maybe take? You got some things that I can maybe, you know, maybe help me feel a little bit better? Now let's apply this spiritually. We get a little out there in the world and we decide to say, I'm going to go to that one friend who I know won't really tell me that I need to get to Jesus. But instead, they'll just try to help me float along. No, what this woman needed was she needed to get desperate enough to get to the Savior. She needed to get desperate enough to get to Jesus. So what did she do? I visually see a woman in this passage, and she had heard of Jesus. He came in the press behind and touched his garment. So she came up behind him and touched his garment. We see in another gospel, it says that she touched the hem of his garments. I see a woman crawling to Christ. I see a woman struggling on her knees, crawling, saying, oh, if I can just touch Jesus, if I could just get a little touch of God, if I could just get a little bit of help. That looked weird, didn't it? You think, man, that kid's crazy crawling on the floor. Some of you need to do that. Someone watching this tonight may need to crawl to Jesus tonight and get down and cry out and say, God, I just need to be clean inside. I just need to be fixed. I just need to be whole. The world does not have your answer. You've got to get desperate enough to get to Jesus. If you're lost and you've heard of this, what you need is you need to get to Jesus. I don't have the answer. The pastor can't fix you. You've got to get to Jesus. He's the one that can save you. And if you're a Christian, and I just, it blows my mind how we don't, it seems as if we don't even want revival anymore. We don't even want to see the face of God anymore. We're not humble enough to get a little crazy and worship and say, God, please meet with us today. Come into this building and make a difference. In order to see the face of Jesus, these people had to get desperate enough to do some out there things. To do a little bit of a crazy act. Lastly, I want to look at Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2. So we've seen a man who was willing to climb up a tree. We see a man who was willing to cry out when it was embarrassing. And we see a woman who was literally crawling just to touch Jesus. But in Mark chapter number 2, I see a man who can't even walk, can't even move on his own, but he's got some friends. He's got some friends that know where he needs to get. He's got some friends who know that they need to get him to Jesus. They know that they can't fix this man. And this man will just lay there and suffer the rest of his life if they don't get him to the Savior. In Mark chapter number 2, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore, and when they could not come nigh unto him. I want to point out that they could not get through the crowd.
They were stuck. They couldn't quite make it through. Now, I would be a fool and ignorant to think that there's some people in this building that maybe you're trying to intercede for somebody else. Don't quit. Don't quit. These men could have quit. This story could look a lot different. Right then it could say, so they went home. So they stopped. Well, they couldn't make it through, so they quit. They decided to just, let's just go back home. This one ain't going to work neither. No, they were thinking, this man needs to get to Jesus. This man needs to touch the Savior. So what did they do? And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof. They climbed up on the roof. These men were carrying this man that could not walk, and they somehow got him up on the roof and started tearing the roof apart. Think about that. These men said, this man needs to get to Jesus. And they walked up and the crowd was just, just imagine walking through a theme park and you just can't make it. And you're just trying to look for your mom and dad, or you're trying to look for your kid. And you don't just quit. You keep going. What did they do? They climbed up on the roof, started ripping the roof apart so that they could get this man down to the Savior. What is the spiritual application? Sometimes we've got to be that friend. Sometimes we got to be that friend when we don't want to be that friend. And that friend might be in here tonight. And we don't know it, but you know it. And some of you may have somebody in your life that you have been praying hard for. And you've been saying, God, help them. God, touch them. God, heal them. God, get them through this. God, show them the way. God, make it to where they can just see your love. Make it to where they can just understand that you care. God, get them through this struggle, please, Lord. Don't quit. These men could have quit. They could have said, this is too hard. I'm done. No, don't stop coming to the altar and praying for that person. You know, you can come to the altar and pray for somebody else sometimes. You can kneel down at your bed and home, and you don't just have to pray for yourself. You can think, hey, this person's out there, and they need to touch Jesus. They need to see the face of God. We need to get them to the church house so that they can see some saints worshiping, so that they can see the face of Jesus. And we all have that person. I have people in my life that I can think of that I've just been praying, God, just give them the answer. God, just make it clear. Don't quit. These men were willing to climb up on the roof, rip the roof apart to get their friend to Jesus. In most all of these accounts, we see that at the end, God says it was by your faith. See, that woman crawled and touched God. Bartimaeus cried out the more a great deal. But Jesus didn't say, oh, it's just because you got desperate, but it's because they had a little bit of faith. How about maybe sometimes we pray an empty prayer? I feel as if in the church house we pray just expecting God not to answer it. These people had faith. They said, I need to touch him. I need to get to God. I'm here tonight to tell you what you need to answer that problem you've got. You need to see Jesus. You don't need a meeting with the pastor all the time. You don't need a meeting with the Sunday school teacher all the time. You don't need a meet with your parents all the time. Sometimes you just got to go to Jesus. Amen. You just got to get to the Savior. Amen. You need to see Jesus. Amen. Why not quit? I think of Paul and Silas in a jail. If they were over there in a jail, and I think I would have quit probably. If I was thrown in jail and Jesus was, promising me all these things, and I was thinking, why am I in jail right now? But they sang anyways. That's what the Bible says over there in the New Testament. It says that while they were in jail, they sang anyway. That is exactly what the Bible says. What do I mean? I mean sometimes that person that you're trying to get to Jesus needs to see you sing anyways. Amen. They need to see you sing anyways. No matter what you're going through, no matter the struggle, no matter the problem, they need to see you worship God. And some of you don't have joy because you don't have faith in God at all. We've got a lot of Pharisees around. We got a lot of people who know when to go to church and they know how to act. They know what to say. They know what to do. But they're Pharisaical and they never really had faith. Some of you are lost. You'd be lost in that case. Amen. If you don't have faith, you're lost. I don't care how many church services you've been in where you may have seen God move. If you didn't have faith that he could enter inside of you, you're lost, friend. If you're coming to church just because you have to, you're lost. If you're wearing the suit and tie just because you have to, you're lost. That means you're dying and going to hell. You've got to have faith in God. You've got to trust the Savior to enter inside of you, or you will die and go to hell. And that one friend, that person in your mind right now that you know needs to see Jesus, don't quit. Stay desperate. Stay desperate. Those men stayed desperate till they got their friend to Jesus. We need to stay desperate, church. We need to stay desperate for souls. We need to stay desperate for our family. And we need to stay desperate for revival. We need to come in here and want to see the face of God every time. Amen. Even when it's tight. Even when problems are happening. We need to worship. We need to say, thank you, God. Lord, we want to see your face. We need to see you. It's time for us to get desperate. It's time for us to stay desperate. And if you need the inside clean, and you've just been living a pharisaical life, maybe you have and you didn't even notice. Sometimes you're raised and that's just what you're taught. Live like this, act like this, go to church this many times a week. That won't get you to heaven. You will die and burn in the devil's hell. You have to accept Christ on your own. Amen. When you die, it's you and the Savior. It's not you and your parents. It's not you and the pastor. It's not you and the Sunday school teacher. It's you and God. And it's, did you have faith? Did you get desperate enough to crawl down and have faith in God to let him save your soul from hell? Amen. And that's what we need. We need Christians to stay desperate for lost souls. We don't need to teach pharisaical ideas. We need to teach Jesus. I don't care what you wear. I don't care what life you've lived. You don't need me and you don't need my rules. My convictions are different than yours. What we need is we need to take people to Jesus. Amen. The 5,000 got fed because that disciple said, we need to take this boy to Jesus. Amen. It's time for some of us to get back to Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of life. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach. You're a good God, Lord. I don't deserve it. It's in your Son's perfect and precious name I pray. Amen.